بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. Firstly, we just making muzakara, discussing one two sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because our object and purpose of life is la ilaha illallah, Allah Rabbul Izzat. But you can't reach Allah without Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam are extremely important. But unfortunately, today we have become so negligent. The word sunnah also doesn't exist in our life. In the homes, the children don't know about sunnah. They know all about other fashions, all the latest things they know about. But tell them sunnah, that's a foreign thing. And that is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that time is going to come. So we have to make every effort, make dua that, oh Allah, give me the knowledge of every sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And for that we have to make an effort. Here we are just doing briefly so that we get encouragement. When we go back homes, we should realize, make ta'lim of sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And today ulama has made it so easy, you don't have to look at all the big hadith kitabs. They have printed small kitabs. This kitab of our Dada Sheikh, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, beautiful sunnahs of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We get this kitab here in a bookshop, etc. 1-2 minutes at home, read 1-2 sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because the greatest gift a person can get is the love of Allah. And if you want the love of Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If you want the love of Allah, or you think you got the love of Allah, then فَتَّبِعُونِ. See how much I am following my beloved Allah's most beloved personality, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So without following Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then our life is just void. We're just living a life like a zombie. And you think you're living a life. So it's extremely important to learn the sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then to have the love and the greatness of the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that dua we should make, that Allah put us, and that is why Allah brought us, just you will learn from the friends of Allah Ta'ala. And then to try and make a concerted effort to practice on the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then make a niyyah that Allah use me to spread the sunnah throughout the world. You make your intention vast, then how much you can do, who you can say, start in your home, tell your family, friends, whoever you can say, but your niyyah was to spread it throughout the world, Allah will give you that reward. So Allah give us tawfiq, and that is why it's so important to learn this. We are busy discussing the sunnahs with regard to entering and leaving the toilet. Yesterday we learned the sunnah that a person should sit and urinate. Do not urinate while standing. Today unfortunately we think that this is just... But you see in good places, Haramain Sharifain now, they put urinals, that a person just stands and urinates. Our children today, they're growing up with a high-paced toilet. They are so habitual. They just go into the toilet, they'll stand and they'll pass water. That is the responsibility of the parents. The parents will get the sin if we didn't train our children properly. So to stand and urinate, this is a very terrible habit. And that is also, this is the sunnah. Sometimes a person's got a lopsided idea of deen and he says, once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also stood and urinate, so what's wrong? That was a one occasion, there was a reason for it. Sunnah is the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hadith is something else and sunnah is something else. So we should realize that and make a firm intention. And today, like Hazrat is explaining, try and come back to the original, the flat toilet. Even in our homes, we don't have make, we can spend money on everything else. Spend money to put a flat toilet in the house. And train our children on that also. Then we learn that if a person after urinating, if one needs to dry himself, he should do so behind some barrier. That is if a person in the open field, sometimes you are traveling and you needed to urgently to pass the water or something, go and don't stand like other animals, just by the car and urinate. No, go down into the felt and this thing. And then if you have to still wipe yourself, then stand away. Don't let people see you. Now, today's sunnah we learned, perform wuzu according to the sunnah before going to the masjid. If there is no time for this, the same could be performed in the masjid. This is also a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should make a practice, that we make our wuzu at home and then go to the masjid. Now for every step you're taking, you're getting a reward of umrah sawab. So a person doesn't realize the wuzu kana is just for emergency. So we should realize and understand the value of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one sunnah you bring alive in today's time just to practice 100 shaheed sawab. That is besides the sunnah itself. So Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. And this will all come as we do our cause of the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. That is why the zikr of Allah Ta'ala is extremely important. And zikr of Allah is not just to do the zikr. First of all, to do a cause. That is, find a spiritual guide, a sheikh who will teach me about Allah. And then when you start making zikr of Allah, then you see life coming into your zikr. And like we see, zikr is made here in the mornings, in the evenings, in between some poems are read. This is not just for entertainment. Many people say, I enjoy the zikr because of the poems. The poems are actually a dua that we're making to Allah Ta'ala. And to make our zikr a reality and more concentration, we say the poems. So that is why it is nice to try and learn it. If you don't know the Urdu, then at least think of the meaning lightly. So that is why in this few minutes, we'll discuss one, two poems that we recite in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Yesterday we learned when a person makes his zikr, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Then after 8-10 times he completes the kalima. Now he, from the bottom of his heart, he starts saying, Koi mujhse poochhe, main kya mangta hu? Main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu. That somebody will be thinking, what you sitting there and all just repeating, La ilaha illallah, la, what you asking for? So he says, if somebody asks me, what am I asking for? Then he doesn't know. I am asking from my Allah, Allah himself. Khuda is a Persian word which means as khud, that Allah is existing on his own forever and ever. And if you got Allah, then you got the whole world. If you don't have Allah, you got nothing. You can be a billionaire, you can be the state president, whatever. You don't have Allah, you got nothing in your life. You'll just live with depression. Outwardly, you think you got pomp and glory. Like our Dada Shaykh says in a beautiful poem, that, Chaye ke saro se, taje gira se aksar dard rehta hai. That outwardly, the kings of this world, they got so much worries. The biggest worry is I mustn't lose my seat. That just now, sir, there is election, somebody else will win the election. So they got all that worries. And ahle wafa ki sino mein ek noor ka darya behtar hai. And those that are loyal to Allah Ta'ala and realize we the slaves of Allah, they have got a river of noor flowing in their heart all the time. So when you're making your zikr, you say, Ya Allah, I want you. That is what I want. So you say now, at least think when you're making your zikr, Koi mujhse poochhe, main kya mangta hu? Main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu. I'm not just saying La ilaha illallah, and then like we will learn inshallah, our Dada Shaykh teaches us so beautifully, the actual meaning of the kalima, now you'll come to realize that who is there for me besides Allah. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. Then the main part of this period is what we learn, Anwar Salah. That is, what is the reality of Salah and the Noor of Salah, etc. This is such a great gift that Allah Ta'ala has given us, that Allah Ta'ala called Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah presented it on a golden tray. That Allah took Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for Miraj, bodily and soul. Now Allah Ta'ala said, Oh my beloved Nabi, my servants also will want to meet me. They'll also want a special connection and meeting with me. So take this golden gift from them. So when we don't know what Salah is, then it's like a burden. But when we come to know, and once our salah comes right, as we will learn inshallah, then our whole deen will come right. When deen come right, then our dunya will come right. So this is a very, very important period that we should pay attention. And from the time it starts, don't think this is just to pass time. The most important thing is to reach Allah. But if you don't know to how, who Allah is, how are we going to reach Allah? You can be making tilawat, you can be making your namaz, everything. But you don't know who Allah Ta'ala is, then how are you going to reach Allah Ta'ala? So to learn who Allah Ta'ala is, just so easy, learn about salah. Then you'll see, you'll realize who Allah, you just get an idea, a brilliant of an idea who Allah Ta'ala is. Then you'll be rushing to salah. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadi allazina astafa. Amma ba'du faqad qala Allah Ta'ala fil Qur'an al-Majid wal Furqan al-Hamid. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم لله مؤردون. We finished the first sabak, we're going to the second sabak, but just for the benefit of myself and all of us, and this is a sabak for myself. We're just making muzakara, just revising it a bit loud so each one can listen and take a lesson. Actually my own sabak which I need the most. And that is why a person who may be sitting for itikaf before also, never think I heard the sabak already so I don't really need it. No, every time you come to a lesson and you sit with an open heart that I want to learn about Allah, you'll find as if this is just a new lesson for you. And you'll get more benefit from that lesson. So don't just listen unattentive. We have to put our full attention and put our mind, then we'll understand and just get an iota what is salah all about. So we completed the first lesson. Just the crux of the first lesson is, one is to realize the importance of salah. That salah is a very, very great gift of Allah Ta'ala. And that is why to realize the importance, we see the period starts with Fazail-e Amal. That you will learn what is the value of salah, and you'll be encouraged as you know now what is the virtues of salah. What a great thing it is. So over and over, Fazail-e Amal has to be read all the time in our homes. Here it's just to give us encouragement that we go home and practice. Not the end. The real work starts when we after itikaf and we go home. And just a matter of 5-10 minutes with the family, start reading Fazail-e Amal and read the kitab on the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on sunnah, on life after death, read 1-2 masail, and then see the home will become a madrasa. The home will all be connected to Allah Ta'ala. So first thing, the importance of the sunnah of namaz. Second thing, to realize that namaz is not, it's a very, very great gift of Allah Ta'ala. It's not a penalty that Allah has put upon us. It's not a burden in any way whatsoever. It's Allah's special favor that Allah made me out of all His creation. Allah made me the best of all creation. And Allah knows my needs better than myself. And Allah says, nobody can fulfill your needs besides me. So you come, Allah is reminding us 5 times a day, you come and beg me for your needs and I will fulfill it. And if you don't realize that the year is, your needs will be fulfilled, then hayya alal falah, come to success. Your success is here. And Imam Raghib Isfahani rahmatullah alayh, a great mufassir, has mentioned, in the Arabic language, this word falah is the most comprehensive, which includes all types of success. Success of this world, of the qabr, of the year after. Every success you can think of is in this. So if you want success in your life, you won't get it without salah. So when a person realizes this, now he can be doing the biggest deal. He can be in the biggest meeting. He'll say, sorry, now I have to go to meet my Allah. I have to go and get my success. Otherwise you'll lose your success totally. And you'll be fooling yourself, you're progressing in life. But you see, all the time, every day, people are complaining, Maulana, I got this problem, I got that problem, I got this depression. So You say, where were you for Fajr? Maharaj, I just had a problem with my computers. If that come right, then you see. No, your computers, your business, nothing will come right unless you first put your salah right. That is the system of Allah. We putting the cart before the horse. That first my business comes right, or first I finish my exam, then you'll see me for salah. Your salah, your life will never come right. So very important to realize that namaz is a very, very great ni'mat and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so much so that Allah ta'ala has made it that to come to the court of Allah, to the royal house, this is the royal palace of Allah ta'ala. You can't go to any ordinary rich person to his house. He's got so lot security guards, etc. Here you come, Allah didn't put any security guard. Nobody is allowed to stop anybody from the masjid. Unfortunately, shaitan has made such an effort. We didn't realize the value of salah. We didn't realize the value of the masjid. Today people think they own the masjid. And they can stop who must come into the masjid, who must not come. They don't realize what a terrible sin they're putting on themselves. Nobody is allowed to stop anybody from the masjid. And there's no even the place in the masjid that you can reserve that this is my place, I build this masjid. No, the person who comes first, that is his place, the best place behind the imam. Even the muazzin, that place is not reserved for him. He wants that place, he must come few minutes before azan, sit there, and then go give azan. Today we just took it as the normal thing that no, that is the place for the muazzin. No, that is not the book place for the muazzin. Nobody can reserve. The richest man, the poorest man, comes early, he gets the best place behind the imam where Allah's rahmat is descending. So Allah didn't keep any guards. You don't have to pay a fee to come to the royal court of Allah. You are just to go to any ordinary museum, anything, you have to pay such a fee. And we'll go and pay the fee. You're free of charge, but we'll think twice that I'm busy, must I go for salah or not. So a person should realize this. And then very, very important, when you have realized this, now when you come to salah, come with a proper etiquette, with a proper adab, that you're going into the royal court of Allah. How should I enter there? You should learn all this. How should I enter with the right foot? How are the du'as that I should read? How should I be dressed, etc.? Unfortunately, this also we have just taken for granted. We come into the masjid anyhow. We don't even think whether I entered with the right foot. Did I read Bismillah Allah's name? Did I read the durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who brought this greatest gift for us and taught us how to perform salah and presented it, not just gave us the gift like this, gave us the full instruction and demonstrated to us how to use this gift. But we have taken it for granted. We got time to learn everything else. Computer courses, we're paying massive prices to send our children to the secular education, etc., which is bringing kufr in their heart. But for salah, we didn't take our time. So we should be making tawbah and asking Allah for forgiveness, and with eagerness we should be learning our salah. And then see, now a person comes with his proper etiquette, I'm going into the royal court. And now when I come for salah, how should I stand in salah? What devotion, what attention, what humility, this is how I should stand in the court of Allah. You just go to an ordinary rich man, you got some need, and see how you act like a beggar, you bow your head down, you talk so humbly, you act like a humble slave. What can he do for you? You acting humble in front of him, the next minute he gets a heart attack, what can he do for you? He can't do anything. Allah Ta'ala's court, Allah will never get a heart attack. Allah has got all, Allah knows your needs better than you. You don't even have to ask Allah your needs. So you come with humbleness, devotion. And this is where we ended the first lesson, that what is this humbleness and devotion in salah? This is not something beyond a person's ability. Every person can achieve this, just with a little effort. One is that the outward acts of salah you learn. That is, you learn what is farz, you learn what is wajib, you learn what is sunnah, what is mustahab, and you learn
What will break salah? What is makruh in salah? This all is extremely important. And then you learn what is, for example, what is attention in salah? Just to know every posture I'm standing in the court of Allah. Even for 1 second you think that I'm standing in Allah's court. You go in ruku, 1 second you think I'm in Allah's presence. In sajda, this is attention in salah. This is devotion of salah. And further than that, a person starts learning the meanings of the surahs that we learn. And we read, many of us got patient surahs, the 4 shortest surahs we read in our salah. But how many years am I reading? Did I learn the meaning of Surah Fatiha? I don't know what I'm asking Allah Ta'ala for. You go to a royal, a rich person, and you don't know how to ask by him, and you can't talk, he'll say, hey, don't waste my time. By Allah, Allah didn't say, don't waste my time. Allah still allowed us in his court all the time. So a person, if you learn the meaning, then see more how your salah will become valuable. And then if a person, Allahu Akbar, just pays attention, as Mawlana Madani Rahmatullahi has made it so easy. Actually, this kitab, Anwarus Salah, this is a bayan of Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullahi. Was a very, very, very great pious servant of Allah. In fact, he fought in the time of the British when they took over India. Then he fought against them. That is where he became Shaheed. And he gave this bayan to his murid that to know what is salah all about. This is what we need. We don't need military power. We don't need all the big financial might, etc. We need the power of Allah. And where you'll get the power of Allah and the power of Iman? From salah. Allah will give it to us in salah. So he taught this to his murid. And then one of the Honorable Khalifas of the Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, Sufi Iqbal Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he found this kitab and he read it and he said, what a kitab! What does this teaching us? Our whole life, our whole deen. And when he showed the friends, they said, no, this kitab must be reprinted. So he reprinted this kitab with some extra notes to teach us the value of this. And then our Hazrat, when he started the Itikaf course, and most of our elders, every year they used to have itikaf. And one special period in the score, in the itikaf, was to learn about salah. More important than your individual ibadat, first learn about salah. Then see, you read 1 page of Quran Sharif is better than your whole khatam. Your 2 rakats now will become more valuable than your 200 rakats. So first learn what is salah all about. Where did we come to? Whose house we are in? You go to somebody's house and you don't meet the man, you don't go to meet the house. So here we come to Allah's house and we don't meet Allah, then well, where we have come? So to realize this reality. So, Hazrat Mawlana Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi has made it so easy. He said that concentration in salah is even 1 time in namaz, you think I'm in the presence of Allah. So a person should realize, one is to learn the outward aspects of salah, and the other is to learn the internal, the connection of salah. The outward aspects of salah is like a person built a house, and now he's buying all the latest equipment, new dishwasher, he's buying all the new stove, fridge, everything. But he just puts it in his house. With the aircon, everything, and he shows his friend his beautiful house. He says, on the aircon, he's pressing the switch, that it's not coming on. He says, what's wrong? He says, is it connected? He says, no, there's no wiring, there's no connection. So what's the good of all that? So unfortunately, myself today, I got namaz in my life, alhamdulillah. I got zikr, I got tilawat, but I got no connection. So that is why I don't enjoy my namaz. I don't get the benefit of my tilawat, etc. So in the kitabs, you'll get the outward appliances. But the connection where you will get? From the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah Ta'ala. That is why from this we must understand the value of our makatib, There we learned all what is farz in namaz, what was so, what is wajib in namaz, what is sunnat in namaz, what is mustahab, what will break namaz, what makes namaz makruh. We learned all that there, but we didn't revise it, we forget it over a period. So all over a period, now realize I must revise it again. So how valuable is our maktabs? And if there were not ulama to teach in the maktabs, then what we should know? But unfortunately today we see, Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, our Shaykh explained, that he explained that how the Russian revolution took place. Russia was a totally Islamic country, where Islam was flourishing. But how the enemies of Allah, Shaitan and his enemies, how they worked, and they brought a total revolution and brought communists in that country, that now don't believe in Allah, don't worship Allah. How they did that? Firstly, they put in the people's heart the value of dunya, that this world is so valuable. If you got this kind car, then you'll be in style. If you got this kind bed, you got this kind house, you got this kind furniture. So this is what they started putting in the minds of people. Then, now people decided we need to get this. How are we going to get this? They said to get this now, you start learning where your dunyawi education. You start going to the schools, go to the universities and learn, get a certificate. When you get a certificate, then you get something in your hand. And now you're able to buy a car. And now you're able, now we see, they put in the minds of the people just so much that now every youngster, that time already, now it is even far worse, that every youngster thinks, I must have this new car. And not just the new car, now waste money on the mags, may waste money on all the system in the car, all the musical system, etc. Every person now started thinking that our honor is in dunya education. And so much they put it in the hearts of people that even the mufti of the time, even the sufi of the time, even the tablighi of the time, and today it's worse. Any person says that Islamic education is important, but secular education is very important. You have to do both. If you your children don't have education of the, or secular education, they don't go to school and university, how are they going to love Aliyazu Billah? And we see today, they made such an effort. That time already they made the effort where they wanted to reach. They already almost there. Hazrat explains, one day there was a business meeting, and many businessmen went, lot of Jews also there, lot of Indians, Muslims also there, and one of our respectable people of our society, a big businessman, he also attended that meeting, and while they were sitting in the meeting, they were discussing a certain point, that this we have to do. So there were two Jews sitting next to him, and he was sitting close to them so he could hear. So the one Jew told the other Jew that this is not in our 100-year plan, this is in our 200-year plan. Then we'll see. So they are planning advance and we are sleeping. And we today, even an alim will say, no, you must send your child to school. And today what they have brought in the school? Secularism. Secularism means everything besides Allah. Allah doesn't exist. Today the world is controlled by science. The world is controlled by technology. Where is Allah? Where is Allah existing? Allah is not existing in the equation. And now school is not just that your children are going to learn, it's an industry. From your child is born, 3 months, they say, we will take your child. So, and then you paying a price to take out iman from the heart of your child. To take out, and then they told the people that this ulama, they stopping you from progress. They'll tell you, no, you can't take a loan, interest is haram. They tell you, no, you can't drive a flashy car, etc. That will take you to the wrong place. So these people they're not letting you progress. And they're not even allowing you to go ahead in dunya. And on top of it, you have to pay them. That they, whatever they teach you, you have to pay them because they are dependent on you. So they, the shaitan and his enemies, they didn't need to do the work now to kill the ulama. The own Muslim youngsters now, they started killing the ulama. Now no respect for the ulama. Today see where they have reached. that in our schools now, what is natural, now sex education, now education, LGBT, TB, whatever they say, that lesbianism, etc. How Allah made you, that is not right. You got the right to decide your own gender, etc. And no teacher is allowed to object. No parent is allowed to object. And we sadly tell today, we will send our children to schools, to all these Montessoris, etc. And we think we're doing them a favor. Today in Muslim countries, they don't have to make an effort to bring their education. Every second building, you go to Karachi and see, every second building is a college. It's a Montessori, etc. And they feel proud. We talking English, to talk Urdu, they feel it's an inferiority complex. So where did they take us, and we haven't realized. So we should understand the value of our ulama, the value of our maktabs, etc. Without that, how are we going to perform our salah? And remember, the inside affects the outside, and the outside affects the inside. So if a person hasn't got the reality that you just got the outside things of this dunya, and you think that I'll have luxury. Allahu Akbar, our honorable, illustrious, pious mashayikh, Hakimul Ummat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani, rahmatullah alayh. For that time already, when the Jews were all planning this, Allah put in His mind, and He taught the Ummat, that don't fall for the tricks of dunya, because rahat aur hai, samane rahat aur hai. Comfort is something else, and the goods of comfort is something else. You can buy the best bed in the world, can you buy sleep? You can't buy sleep. Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. Sleep is in our control. No tablet can give you sleep. No bed can give you sleep. We give you sleep. And that sleep that will take out your tiredness. So we should realize that our progress in life is not in the schools, it's not in the universities, it's in our madrasa. And then from the madrasa you get the outward, like the all your appliances. Now to get it wired and connected to Allah, you come here to the mashayikh, to the khanka, and learn about Allah. Then see how your outward namaz, you first need the outward structure. Without the outward structure, without namaz, how are you going to put the connection in there? So first you need the outward structure, the wiring, then you'll get the connection. So the outward is also important, and the inward is also important. Many people have a misconception that namaz means that you have to stay, devote yourself to Allah a few minutes. So I can sit and meditate and think of Allah for 5 minutes, and I got more concentration. That person thinks he's in namaz. That is not namaz. That is totally void of reality. That is not reality. So a person has to understand what reality is all about, because that type of namaz, in fact, a person is concentrating, but is not performing namaz how Allah wants us to perform. How Allah sent a gift to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that person, in fact, is in a greater sin. He's in a greater curse of Allah Ta'ala. So this reality a person has to understand, and then realize that namaz is not something beyond us. It's not istighraq. It's not that a person has to be overtaken, that you don't know what is happening around you. No, namaz is a basic thing, that know what is farz, what is wajib, what is sunnah, what is mustahab, what breaks your salah, what is makruh, etc. And then accordingly a person now realizes what the great value of salah is. Now we start our second sabak, which is deals with the niyat, takbir et tahrima, and qiyam. That is what, how a person should make his niyat, how he should start his namaz, that now what was permissible for you out of namaz by making takbir et tahrima, that becomes all haram now. And then how you should present yourself in the court of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand this reality and appreciate this great, great, great gift of salah. So Hazrat Father mentioned that baad uske muh taraf Kaaba ke khara hokar kare, that now when you came in the court of Allah Ta'ala, what proper respect, what proper adab, in the right way you are dressed, etc. and you realize that I've been called, given a honorable invitation to the royal court of Allah. Now when I come to the royal court, you go to any person, the respectable person, or you go to an ordinary counselor, you're asking people, how must I go there? How must I go to that office? What must I tell this person? How must I dress, etc.? So sadly, we coming to the royal court of Allah, we don't want to learn these things. And how shaitan has fooled us today. Today we come anyhow in the house of Allah. People come with Bermudas, it's fine. People we become all billboards with all different types of clothing, with all the logos on our clothing. It's okay, it's fine, what's wrong? And people will even say, what's wrong? What's wrong if I don't wear a topi in Salah? What's wrong if I wear Bermudas in Salah? Just what's wrong? Because we don't know where we're going. We don't know whose house we are going to. So when a person realizes, now when you walk in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with humbleness, with proper respect, etc., now you face your body direction directly to the house of Allah, to the Kaaba Sharif. Immediately your body, you realize, when I stand in front of Allah, I can't just stand in any direction. I have to face the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from where the current is coming. And why? What is the great wisdom of this? What is one secret of this? Although this is not important to know, but there are so many, many people want to know what is the secret of namaz. What is the secret of reading two rakat? The wisdom is there. That is not our work to worry. We have to worry. The greatest secret, it is the command of Allah. Allah has given me this command. Allahu Akbar. When Allah has given me the command, how can I be so foolish to say I don't have time for Allah? Allah is not in need of us. Allah is independent. So when a person comes, then if everybody faces in different direction, where they will be, where a person will able to concentrate. So Allah Ta'ala has made it such that Allah Ta'ala has put His greatest house, Kaaba Sharif. A person now makes his direction towards Kaaba Sharif, that is your body. And why? Sirus mein ye hai ki Kaaba naaf zameen hai. Aur namaz zameen isi se phelai aur tamam zameen usi se phelai gayi. Aur pedaish jism aadmi ki khaak se hai. See, one of the great wisdoms of this is why we face Kaaba Sharif. Because the navel of the whole earth is the Kaaba Sharif. In other words, even if you use geographical equipment, that time when there was no technology whatsoever, today's science is making with all the technological equipment, they have come to realize that the center of the earth is the Kaaba Sharif. So the Kaaba is the navel of the whole earth. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah has mentioned, that first Allah Ta'ala made the whole earth full of water. And then when Allah wanted to create land, exactly where the Kaaba is, a bubble came out, and from there land started coming. And then Allah Ta'ala made land come into the world, and Allah Ta'ala let the land start coming. So from there the entire land spread from Kaaba Sharif. And we also, so earth was started by the middle of the Kaaba. That is where earth started. And why we have to face Kaaba? Our body is also made from sand. Allah says, Mina khalaqnakum. We are made from sand. Our original, our great grandfather, directly Adam alayhi salam, was made from sand. If we think, today we say we're not made from sand, but we are made from a droplet of sperm. Sperm is made from blood. Blood is made from food. Where does the food come from? From the ground, from the sand. So we also made from sand and water. So when a person realizes this, now your original, your body is inclined to the original. Everything is inclined to its original. So Allah Ta'ala has taught us through our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that now put your direction of your body towards Kaaba Sharif. That is where your original is. جب ظاہر جسم اپنے کو طرف اس کی اصل کی متوجہ کیا باطن کو بھی یعنی روح کو طرف اس کی اصل کے یعنی حق تعالی جو پیدا کرنے والا ہے اس کا پیدا کرنے والا اس کا ہے متوجہ کیا چاہیے Then if you have, now you have turned your body to the original, to the Kaaba Sharif. Now your body will get the current from Kaaba Sharif. Now what is a person, his reality is not just his body. Our reality is inside our ruh. And the ruh comes from Allah Ta'ala. That is the command of Allah. Allah puts life in the heart of a person. Now you have directed your body to your origin. Now direct your ruh also to the original. And what is the origin of the ruh? The ruh comes from Kaaba Sharif, from Allah Ta'ala. So direct your heart. So the Kaaba of your heart is the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. So in that way, if a person just his direction alone, now you see your attention of salah won't be diverted. Now all other thoughts won't just come automatically. Now you realize that now I'm facing Allah Rabbul Izzat. My body is towards Kaaba Sharif, my heart is towards the arsh of Allah, that is my ruh, is directly, that comes from Allah Ta'ala. So my ruh, my attention of my soul should be towards Allah Rabbul Izzat. Aur hamesha aukaat panch, namaz bila shuba, wad darbar aur huzur ka jaan kar, hajat apne arz kare. And then a person should realize that Allah Ta'ala has given me this opportunity that 5 times a day Allah Ta'ala said, you come to my court because you are totally in need of me and you come make all your requests to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and you come ask all your needs from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that Allahu Akbar, the whole creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, antumul fuqara ila Allah, all of you are registered beggars in the court of Allah. So if we are registered beggars in the court of Allah, then we are in need of coming to Allah Ta'ala for our need. No organization can say, no, we got the know-how and we don't need to, we are not dependent of Allah. The whole world today has fooled themselves and said, no, we can gather all our resources, form a united nation and run the world. Or today with technology, etc., use all our abilities, use all our intelligence and control the world. The world can never be controlled for 1 second without Allah Ta'ala's command. وَهُوَ اللَّهِ It is Allah who is controlling the whole world. And that is why Allah Ta'ala is calling us that now come to the house of Allah and make your request and ask Allah Ta'ala for your need. Allah Ta'ala will definitely fulfill all your needs and Allah knows that Allah Ta'ala needs to fulfill our needs. Allah Ta'ala has called us here. So coming for salah is not a burden. It's not something that's now going to stop me from progress. It's going to give me more progress. That every person should realize that Allahu Akbar, that you are so in need of Allah that all the heart specialists in the world cannot look after your heart. One day Hazrat explained that a top heart specialist was about to make an operation on a patient. He even gave anesthetic everything. Now when he came to start his operation, he came to start his operation, immediately he got a heart attack. Now when he's got a heart attack, he can't control his own heart, then where are you going to be able to control the hearts of anybody else? So all the heart specialists in the world, all the scientists in the world, all the economists in the world, they can't do anything for us for a split moment. The only great being that is in control of our life, that can fulfill our needs, is only Allah Rabbul Izzat. And see how Allah Ta'ala has made us. From that original, that droplet of sperm of you, Allah Ta'ala has given you such brains that now, insan, you get astonished with all the technology. You get astonished that see how the jets are flying, but you don't realize who gave you that small brain to manufacture that jet. What a machine Allah made, this human being. And Allah didn't make one machine. Allah made billions of human beings. And now human beings are making microchips and we getting astonished that they will control us. Nobody can control us. Only Allah Ta'ala can control us. Only Allah Ta'ala has made us. Allah is controlling every moment. Today now we realize the value of oxygen. We don't realize, Allah says, come in the morning, Fajr time, when I'm distributing such oxygen that from one tree, 60 men can get their full oxygen for their daily ration. But Fajr time we are sleeping, we don't get oxygen, now we have to run around. Oxygen is very necessary. Allah is giving it to us free of charge. Allahu Akbar. So we didn't realize this reality and we deprive ourselves. When a person realizes that it is only Allah Rabbul Izzat, what a brain Allah has given me. Today a human being just makes one cell phone and is astonished. Or you make one walkie-talkie doll, and today the doll starts talking and you bought it for your grandchild, but you getting more excited. And sadly our shaitan has fooled us even in death. Today you get walkie-talkie dolls that are reading kalima, but behind it there's music. And we're buying this kind of toys for our children. And we still, we were not realizing that Allah Rabbul Izzat who made me, Allah Ta'ala says, now come, you need to get you need to beg for your needs. Come to the house of Allah. And not only one time, five times a day, Allah says you in need, you have to come beg. So come to the house of Allah and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then present your need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that I am in need. Ab bayan namaz ka aur maana alfaz ke misal par samjhe. Now Hazrat says, now understand what is this namaz all and what you are presenting, how you are asking Allah ta'ala in his court, what you are presenting, just understand this by example. Masalan, jis waqt koi banda qasd munajat aur arz hajat ka dil mein mukarrar kare, hazir darbar khas ka ho aur niyayat azim aur aqeedah durust aur niyat khali se rubaru is baatay ali jaan ke khada hokar aur rukh iltifat ka aur taraf se hata kar Allahu Akbar kare. That now a person comes in a court in such a way that now he realizes, I am the most in need person and I am coming into the royal court of Allah and I have to present my need in front of Allah, what munajat, what secret, in secrecy I have to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to present my need in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realize how great is Allah, whose court I am going to. Today you just go to any office. You're asking somebody that how must I speak to this man? How must I present myself? How must I go and go to that office? In which way, etc. Here we coming to the royal court, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person should know that where I'm going, to whose house I'm going. A person realizes this and then fully he's eager now. If you got an appointment with any counselor, then you leave all the other work one side. And you say, I got an important announcement, appointment. Where can there be a more important of an appointment than coming to the house of Allah? When you realize that Allah Ta'ala, who can only and only fulfill my needs, nobody besides Allah, why shouldn't I be rushing for my appointment? And now a person is worried, I'm going to the court of Allah. How should I talk to Allah? How should I present myself? How should I ask my needs from Allah? Because Allah is nihayat ta'zim. Allah is very, very magnificent. Allah is very, very great. How am I going to enter the court of Allah? So a person realizes the greatness of Allah, that I'm going to the greatest place, and a person comes with extreme humbleness and the correct belief. We have to believe in Allah not according to what we think. We have to believe in Allah according to how Allah wants us to believe in Allah. And for that Allah sent Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach us our beliefs. Today unfortunately that's another effort shaitan is making, and from the schools etc. to concoct our whole belief that Allah didn't create you. Your forefathers were first monkeys. And then you became human beings, Darwin's theory of evolution, and taught in Muslim schools. So your belief is totally wrong. How are you going to enter the court of Allah Ta'ala? So to get your belief in order, then you are able to realize where I'm going to. The dead being who gave me life, my life is not in control of any scientist, and I can't control my own life. Nobody can save my life. Nobody can protect my life. It is only Allah Rabbul Izzat. So shouldn't I come to the house of Allah with extreme respect and realizing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then with the proper etiquette, and then with a total the sincere intention that I'm not coming for any ulterior motive. Not that people must see me. Not that people must think I'm a very pious man, etc. No, only and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other ulterior motive whatsoever, that you come to the house of Allah only to make Allah happy. And Allah doesn't need us. But when you come to make Allah happy, then what Allah will give you, you can't imagine. Like the pious servant, Hazrat Rabia Basriya rahmatullah alayhi used to say, before she starts her namaz, that, "Oh Allah, if I am coming to your house, or I am performing the salah, because I want jannat, deprive me of jannat. If I am performing salah because I want to be saved from jahannam, then throw me in jahannam. But if I'm performing the salah because I want your pleasure, then please grant me your pleasure. Make me yours." So that is the simple example. Is like a person, you got one worker that is working for you, and you got your son, you tell him that you run the business. And if you tell him, now the worker, he's coming to work because he's going to get paid. You know, end of the day I'll get my salary. And he only comes 8 to 5. But you tell your son, run the business, and you tell him that I'll give you so much wages. If the son is a person who's got some intelligence, he'll tell his father, "I don't want any wages or anything. I'll run the business because it's yours, and I will take care of the business." And he don't come 8 to 5. Any time when there's a need, he's in the business. 12 o'clock, if the alarm is ringing, he's there to go and check what's the problem. Now, he's not getting a wage, but when he needs a car, the father automatically buys him the car. If you're like that son or daughter, the mother says that, "Today I'm a bit tired, I can't manage to cook. Oh my daughter, I'll pay you 500 rand, cook this pot of food." If a daughter got understanding, she'll say, "Ammi, well, I don't need money, I need your love." And if she tells the mother that, now what is 500 rand? Now the mother will give her whatever she needs, whenever she needs. So if a person comes to the house of Allah for the pleasure of Allah, one is sawab, Allah is mentioned, you'll get so much reward for your salah, etc. But you come, "Oh Allah, I only want your happiness. I only want you," and you come with this clear intention that I'm coming to the greatest court. You have made your direction in front of Allah Ta'ala, and now you say, "Allahu Akbar. That Allah is the greatest. I'm throwing everything behind my back. I don't even want this world. I don't even want Jannah. Although we make dua for it. But Allahumma inna nas'aluka radaka wal Jannah. That Allah, I want your pleasure. Then Jannah will be enjoyable." So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and understanding that firstly we get an idea how great is Allah. What a great gift and what an honor it is to come to the house of Allah. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Subhanallah.